Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Dale, Minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on the 12th Hour in the Irving, Texas. Today is November the 7th, 2024, or it is the 6th day of Chisley, 2028. We will start our first service today with a continuation of a last study from Untimely Greetings. The subject is, Behold, I Make All Things New. It's on track 9. And we're on the subject of page 54. The first fruits of the harvest. We'll do a little review from, the last page of the last study, on page 53, it says, and as during the sealing period, the nations are constrained from obstructing the sealing of the righteous and the four angels, Revelation 7:2, are commanded not to hurt the wicked. We see that the 144,000 are sealed in a time of the peace, not though in a time of the peace among the nations themselves, but rather in a time during which neither the nations are permitted to persecute the church, those who are being sealed, nor the angels permitted to hurt the wicked. This condition, however, being contrary to that which existed in the days of the apostle, when both the Romans and the Jews persecuted the Christians, and when Yahweh took the life of Ananias and Sapphira and brought the destruction upon Jerusalem, no one consequently can honestly conclude that the 144,000 were sealed at that time. Neither could there be, as some think, those who arose from the graves, when the Yahshua yielded up the Spirit, as the 27:50, 52 and 53. For, besides the reasons already given, the angel came from the east, not to call them from their grave, but to seal them in their foreheads, Revelation 7:3-4. For the Revelator, moreover, was told that the things about which he was to write were to be hereafter, Revelation 4:1, after 96 A.D., when he had the vision, and furthermore, the sin of the 144,000 takes place in the period of the sixth seal, this power unto the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 6:12-17, 7:1-17, and chapter 8:1. Shortly before the end of all things. And still further, instead of being called firstborn, they are called firstfruits, a designation which shows that they are of the firstfruits of the harvest. first fish of the harvest. It says, if all the books of the Bible meet an end, and the Revelation, the sin of the 144,000 must, as a result, find its complement in the writings of the prophets. And there's nowhere but in Ezekiel 9 is found an event analogous to that of the Revelation 7. For it follows that the marking and sealing are identical, both of which are to separate the wicked from the righteous. The angels and the former smiting all who have not the mark, the angels and the latter hurting all who have not the seal. See Ezekiel 9:46, Revelation 7:2-9:15. For the fact, therefore, that at no time in the church history, save in the Noah's day, has Yahweh destroyed all the wicked and preserved only the righteous, is conclusive evidence in the proof that the marking or sealing of 144,000 is yet incomplete. Plainly then, among the Yahweh's people, those who fail to receive the seal are in the figure of the parable represented by the terror and are appointed unto the destruction, whereas those who receive the seal and who escape the destruction are symbolized by the wheat and are destined for the barn, the kingdom, Matthew 13:30. As the tares and the wheat are to grow together until the harvest, and as the harvest is in the end of the world, Matthew 13:30-39, obviously the 144,000 are called the first fruit because they are of the class of the saints, wheat, first to be separated from the tares, for they are, moreover, the class not defiled with the women. According to the Revelation 7, the 144,000 are of the 12 tribes of Israel and Judah, not of the Gentiles also. Both the marking and the slaughtering, according unto Ezekiel 9, are to take place in both Israel and Judah, where the church, in the church where the harvest judgment commences, and of the judgment as the apostle first begins at us. If the judgment, asks the apostle, first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh? 1 Peter 4:17. And accumulated life, focusing under this point, 144,000, the first fruits stand forth clearly as Christian, as a Christian Jew who are found in the church at the commencement of the harvest. And to this respect they are not defiled with women. for they have, in other words, from their birth, been the Yahweh's people, Jews, not defiled with the heathen worship, for they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, with the result that when he stands on the Mount Zion, they too stand there. And further, the fact that these are they which were not defiled with the women, for they are virgins, and that they are the servants of the our Yahweh, clearly imply that they are together a class defiled with women, a second fruits. For the class of the saints must be those who have at the one time been married unto some unchristian mistress, a heathen church, and who consequently are not the descendants of either Jacob or the Christian church. So there are to be two harvests, one from the church and one from the world. For the record of the former mentions only Israelites, for the 144,000, those now not defiled with the women, though it does not say that there may not be others, while the record of the latter, however, definitely embraces a great multitude from all nations, which must necessarily be both of the undefiled and defiled ones, Jews and Gentiles. So the Jews are undefiled, and the Gentiles are the ones that are defiled. Thus, as after the seeding of the 144,000, the first fruits come the great multitude from all nations, the latter can logically only be called the second fruits. Otherwise, the 144,000 cannot be called the first fruits, for where there is no second, there can be no first. And the first fruits, the 144,000 being living saints, so also, therefore, are the second fruits, the great multitude. The first fruits, moreover, being analogous to the firstborn, the priests are therefore the ministers, the servants of Yahweh, those who are to bring in the second fruit, prophesying of the separation of the one and of the ingathering of the other, as it declares, for by the fire and by the sword will the Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahweh shall be many. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow to Tubal, and Avan unto the isles afar, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel unto the house of the Yahweh, Isaiah 66, 16, 19, and 20. Note that those who escaped the slaughter of the Yahweh are sent to proclaim his fame and to show forth his glory among the Gentiles, for they shall bring all their brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations. They shall, in other words, preach this gospel of the kingdom in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. For this great work, which no other have ever been able to accomplish, these escaped ones will, because in their mouth is found no guile. For the fact that the 144,000 are without the guile in their mouths shows that as the servants of the Yahweh they have a message to proclaim, and that they ought to be found blameless in their proclaiming of it, speaking the truth and nothing but the truth. They shall prosper wherever they go with the message, although they are sent with it when the winds are loosed and blowing. For the angels holding back the winds at the four corners of the earth denotes that they are holding back some worldwide trouble, which should it break out while the church is in her latest sin condition, would block the ceiling. And from this fact it follows that immediately after the 144,000 are sealed, the trouble will begin, signalizing the angels loosening of the wind, with the trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Daniel 12:1. For the great multitude is to be brought face to face while being called out of the Babylon, Revelation 18:4, into the kingdom. For this time of the trouble is foreshadowed by the present trouble which the church is bringing upon the first fruit, those who are being sealed, marked in her midst, to be removed to the kingdom, the barn, Matthew 13:30, the vessel, Matthew 13:48. Consequently, as the marking of the image of the beast, Revelation 13:11-18, is an prophecy, or is in the prophecy, as the only worldwide event of this time, and as the great multitude with the palms in their hands come out of the great tribulation as the only logical conclusion is that after the 144,000 are sealed, and while the winds are blowing, the second fruits will be gathered, and the work of the preaching of the plan of salvation above the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, the new and living way, for these last days, which is called of the gospel closed. It will be closed. For the trouble will burst forth as the two-horned beast decrees that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. See Revelation 13:17. Thus will the dragon be wroth with the woman and make war with the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, Revelation 12:17, and at the same time the angels will be allowed to hurt all who trouble the church of Yahweh and who attempt to join it in the same way as the terrorists now do. And thus hurting the wicked, the angels execute the wrath of the Lamb in a view of this. The Yahshua asked, who, the Son of Yahweh, who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:17. It is the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, and the sinners in the Zion are afraid, for the fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Hence the question, who among us shall be able shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Only those who are themselves in the need of everything, and these are the ones who see the King, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. For he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of the oppressions, that shaketh his hands from the holding of the bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of the blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be the munitions of the rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. For now I shall see their King in his beauty, for they shall behold the land that is very far off, for thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers. Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, for thine eyes shall see Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, as a tabernacle that shall not be taken down, for not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken, but there the glorious Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, will be unto us a place of the broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with the oars, neither shall a gallant ship pass thereby. For the Yeshua, Son of Yahweh, is our judge. For the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, is our lawgiver. Genesis 49:10. For scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between our feet, until a shadow comes, and that's Yeshua the King. For Yeshua is our King, he will save us. Isaiah 33:14-22. Michael, the great prince, shall then stand up and deliver everyone that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. Because in that day the Yeshua is both to shepherd the faithful and to punish the unfaithful for the message which announces this great and dreadful day. Malachi 4:5 is titled, "In the Shepherd's Rod," as the Yeshua's voice, "Therefore crieth unto the city, Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it?" Micah 6:9. Keep going. Sunken in the latest sin, slumber and sleep, the city of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the Yahweh's merciful effort to prepare it against this day of the trouble, is to be startled to life by his urgent cry. Well, he says the Seventh-day Adventist Church, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." Isaiah 52:1. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahshua is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Yahshua shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to the light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Isaiah 60:1-3. For the church of the latter sins, being as the last of the seven churches, is the last section of the Christian church, singular, which would mean the seven churches, starting with Ephesus and ending with Laodicea, the Adventist Church, the number seven. Of the Christian church, in which the wheat and the tares are commingled. In other words, it's the last of the seven churches with a seventh candlestick, meaning it's the house of Israel. When it says Christian church here, it's the last section of the house of Israel of the seven churches in which the wheat and the tares are co-mingled. So the Adventist church is called the seventh Christian church of the Christian churches of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. For the overcomers, the marked ones from the church, those who hear the rod, begin the eighth section of the church. That's the house of Israel. And the eighth section is this kingdom of David, the little stone that's hewn out of the mountain without hands, that grows into, strikes the image on the feet and grows into a mountain filled with the old earth, Daniel 2. Well, that's the eighth section of the seventh day, or of the Christian church, or the house of Israel, the house of David, as the one symbolized by the barn. Okay. So, the house of David, the eighth, Mount Gilead, Kermit, Texas, produced this eighth section, because Mount Gilead at Kermit, Texas, from 1970 to 2003, was the number seven, and it produced the number eight section, which is the house of David, and that's who we are today, in the 12th parabolic hour. And in the opening of the seventh seal, Revelation 8, 1 and 2, in Revelation 8, so that would be the eighth section, the house of David, opened up in the Revelation chapter 8. And the 12th parabolic hour, judgment of the living, closing out the judgment of the dead with the seventh church, Gilead Center at Kermit, Texas. The one symbolized by the barn, Matthew 13:30, and by the vessel, Matthew 13:48. Also by the golden candlestick of the Zechariah 4, have heard the Yahweh says, "For the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh." Let's read that again. "Thou shalt also be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Yahweh, the Father, shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh, the Father, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy king, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh." Isaiah 62:2-3. Among the latter sins, Seventh-day Adventist Church, however, those who refuse to arouse and take in the situation, who will not sigh and cry for all of the abomination that be done in the midst of Ezekiel 9:4, will be left without the mark and will consequently fall under the slaughter weapons of the angel Ezekiel 9, while those who receive the mark will escape them and be sheltered from the trouble, the shields being symbolized by the barn and the vessel of Matthew 13:30-48. For this sparing of the wheat on the one hand and the slaying of the tares on the other hand, among the first fruits, those in the church foretoken by the sparing of the good and by the slaying of the bad among the second fruits of those in the Babylon, Revelation 18:4. Hence, the work of the Seventh-day Adventist Laodicea typifies that in the Babylon. While the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, is now marking the first fruits of his kingdom, that's this kingdom of David, that's this everlasting kingdom of Daniel 2:44-45 that was set up in the days of these kings, by this little stone hewn out of the mountain. That little stone is the house of David. The Laodicea. Okay, so those in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Seventh Church are called out by those of the Eighth Church and the Eighth Church. That's the house of David. That's this everlasting kingdom of Yahshua. This is the Eighth Church, set up here in the 12th parabolic hour. Okay, so it says, while the Yahshua is now marking the first fruits of his kingdom, this everlasting kingdom of the that's set up in the days of these kings, Daniel 2:44-45, those in the Seventh-day Adventist later this year, those of the ancient men, Testimony Volume 5, page 11, by the supposing themselves to be doing his bidding, by the forcing of the laity not to listen unto the Yahshua's messengers, and not to read his message in the shepherd's rod. Well, that's the general conference. Jesuits that was running the Adventist church that was standing in the way of that being done, or attempting to prevent them from receiving the mark. So that's your Jesuit Catholics and the Adventist church, leadership of the Adventist church, called the general conference. They're the ones that are standing in the way of Yahweh's people receiving his mark in the Adventist church. It's not the true Adventist leaders in the Adventist church that are doing this. It's those infiltrators, those general conference leaders, starting with the president and his officers, which is to keep them from perishing. And as the prophecy shows that this war, when finished in the Seventh-day Adventist Laodicea, spreads into the Babylon, as the Yahshua begins the marking of the second fruits of his kingdom, and as the beast supposing himself as do the ancient men now to be doing the Yahshua's bidding, decrees that all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, Revelation 13:16, receive his mark rather than the Yahshua's, which is to keep them also from perishing. These two markings, the beast and the Yahshua's, in themselves show a time of the separating of the citizens of the kingdom of the heaven from the citizens of the kingdom of the world. I added that kingdom part. And because this is a work such as never was, for it brings the time of the trouble such as there never was, as the great and with the great and dreadful day of Yahshua, with the present trouble in the Laodicea is therefore for the spreading into the Babylon and developing into the time of the several such as never was, a development that shows that the same satanic power now working in the letter sin, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, will soon fully manifest itself in the consolidation with the beast within the churches in Babylon. These are all these evangelical churches now in Babylon, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Lutherans, you know, all of those. The center keeping world, in other words. They're to oppose the marking of the sacrifice as it is now in letter C, opposing the marking of the first fruits of the 144,000 in her midst. And furthermore, as the eighth section of the church, which is this everlasting kingdom of heaven of Daniel 2:4-45, that Yahweh sent his son Yahshua down here to this earth to sit upon the throne of David to establish this eighth section and the 12th parabolic tower and the judgment of the living that we are in now. Okay. And furthermore, as the eighth section, kingdom, everlasting kingdom of the heaven of the David, the church, the eternal is of the seventh section. The church temporal, just so the eighth beast, the post-millennial world, is of the seventh beast, Revelation 17:11, the premillennial world. For this inescapable parallelism between the work of the Yahweh and the work of the Satan, that the inspiration is so sharply and vividly with the bringing into the focus for the he speaks for itself. That we are entering into the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua as a fast which should stir our hearts as nothing ever has. And since henceforth from the time that the 144,000 are marked and the sinners taken away from among them, no more shall the wicked commingle with the righteous from that time on forever. Therefore, the kingdom church, the eighth, stays pure. Okay, it says, prophetically looking forward unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church's purified state, which would be in the eighth section of the call there. The everlasting kingdom of the heaven, that Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, has come to earth to sit upon the throne of David in this kingdom, this purified kingdom. The prophet Zechariah saw that every part in the Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua of the host, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh of the host. Zechariah 14:21. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of the Israel after those days, saith Yeshua. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their king and savior and redeemer, and they shall be my people. said to Yahshua of the host, the son of Yahweh, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, for they shall all know me, that's the sanctified, purified one, in Yahshua's kingdom, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahshua. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. Then it shall go forth the word of the Yahshua. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Isaiah 33:13. And who have all who have acknowledged and profited by his might in the past, along with all who will acknowledge and profit by his might in the future, are to be found in the five groups in the kingdom, in this everlasting kingdom of the David of the heaven here, Daniel 2:44-45, set up here in the days of these kings, Daniel 2:44-45, in the 12th parabolic hour, and that's fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-8. These groups are, number one, the 144,000 Israelites, the first fruits of the living, whose nobles shall be of themselves, and whose governor, singular, shall proceed from the midst of them. And who is their governor? It's going to be this antitypical David. Actually, he's identified as antitypical Elijah. In Malachi 4:5. Jeremiah 30:21. They shall return unto the Jerusalem and stand on the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the 12th parabolic hour, with the Lamb. Number two, those whom John saw after seeing the 144,000 gathered from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues during the great tribulation in the time of the trouble, such as never was, with the great multitude who go into Jerusalem before the resurrection. Number three, those who arise unto everlasting life in the resurrection of the Daniel 12:2. And number four, those Israelites who shall come forth in the resurrection of Ezekiel 37:1-14. And number five, all who come in the resurrection of the Revelation 20:6. Collectively, these are all the Israelites and Gentiles who shall return unto Jerusalem, possess the promised land, and then the whole earth. Ironically, few, therefore, in the view of what we have seen in these pages, is the ever-strengthening aim for the rebuilding of the Jerusalem as one movement is endeavoring to do in the response to the prophecies of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven of Daniel 2:44-45 by the taking there of the non-Christian Jews, and as another movement is endeavoring to do in the response unto the same prophecy by the taking there the English-speaking world for a kingdom of both believers and unbelievers would be none other than the better than the kingdom of today. It would, however, in effect, be nothing more than a Babylon, nothing more than the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird, Revelation 18:2. To work for such a hope is to take a long step toward the bringing in of the Satan's powerful delusion, counterfeiting the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and a counterfeit kingdom. Thus it is that only those who have been diligent students of the scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive by the Bible testimony. These will detect the deceiver in his disguise. All the people of the Yahweh now so firmly established upon the word that they would not yield unto the evidence of the senses. Would they in such a crisis cling to the Bible and the Bible only? That's a comment by Ellen G. White, Great Controversy, page 625. In the view of this urgency for the safeguarding of the typical apostolic believer's crowning hope of the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, it is expedient, therefore, to consolidate the main points thus far established in the ingathering. Hence, a summary of the first and second fruits. When the time of the terror, the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38, is come unto its full, then will commence the harvest, and it will bring in the end of this world, Matthew 13:30-40, taking place in the end of the world, perforce is for the gathering of the people by the Elijah's message. Here it is right here. And that's who we are, Elijah David, and it's this message that we're making clear to you right now and on from now on. The last heaven-sent proclamation of the preaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the new and living way of Hebrews 10:19-20, which is called the proclamation of the everlasting gospel, Matthew 24:14, which is preached first unto the church just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, and then unto all of the world during that long expected day, for the message finding the net full upon its arrival, and subsequently causing of a division between those who accept it and those who reject it, for it enables the angels for the selecting of the bad from among the good. Matthew 13:48. These good and the first fruits of the redeemed, starting with in the Adventist Church, follows the separation implicit in the call, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that she receive not of her plagues, Revelation 18:4. these called out ones are the second fruits. In the first instance, the bad are cast out from among the good that are caught in the net, the message reposing in the church, whereas in the second instance, only Yahweh's faithful are called out from among the sinners in the Babylon, there being no tares among them. For the tares and the wheat were commingled in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a movement of the fourth movement of the Ninth Hour Call, starting in 1844. That's Matthew 20, verse 5. Those that's called at the ninth hour to work in the 10th and the 11th parabolic hour for the Adventist Church. From 1844 until 2003, for the tares and the wheat were commingled in the former instant, because while men slept, says Yeshua, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, whereas the wheat is kept free from the tares in the latter instance, because, says Yeshua, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, Isaiah 62:6. For the Babylon's dominion being symbolized by the scarlet-colored beast of the upon which sits the woman, Revelation 17, is with the symbolization, therefore, representative of an international religious political system. For the religious aspect is symbolized by the woman, the civil aspect by the horns of the beast, and the combination. A symbolical prediction of a worldwide system of the church and state union, for the beast alone, exclusive of the horns, represents as do the beast of the Daniel 7, the world's multitudes, the subjects of the antitypical Babylon from among whom the Jewish people are called. This gathering constitutes the separation of the second fruits. From this, the truth is again seen that the first and the second fruits of the living, the one gathered from within the Adventist Church at the commencement of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, and the other gathered out of the Babylon during that day, constitute the everlasting kingdom of the heaven of Daniel 2:44-45, and its beginning, and before the resurrection of the dead here in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. For the facts, moreover, that only the good from the net were kept, and that only Yahweh's people were called out of the Babylon, hail the kingdom as the home of the righteous only. But this shall be the covenant, declares Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, concerning this glorious truth of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven of Daniel 2:44-45, the kingdom of David, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, that I will make with the house of the Israel after those days, saith Yahshua. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their king and redeemer and their savior, Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahshua, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. And they shall call them claims of the Isaiah, the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, Isaiah 62:12. and a highway shall be there. His shirt. And a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness, as the unclean shall not, for the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those of the way, for the wayfaring men, though the fools shall not err therein, Isaiah 35:8. Number two, when this plan of the salvation, the brother everlasting covenant of Yahshua, which is called the gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached in all of the world, here in the 12th parabolic tower, here the number 8th church, for a witness unto all nations, Matthew 24:14. Remember, the Seventh-day Adventist church is called the 7th church, and their time was up, and then the 8th church goes on until the end. The work of the gospel shall end, and probation shall close for every human being. Number 3. When both the Jew and the Gentile who have responded unto the call have been gathered from the four corners of the earth, then will the harvest end, then will the last lingering moment of the probationary time have fled away forever, then will the end have come, and from the great white throne will have gone forth the immutable fiat. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:11. Learning unto their terror with the passing of the probation that they are forever lost, the neglected will cry out bitterly, for the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Behold, I come quickly, declares the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, following his solemn pronouncement of the close of the probation. Well, the thing is, he comes quickly before the close of the probation. Matter of fact, Yahshua has to come before probation closes, because he's the one that brings probation to a close by the personally harvesting of his own people unto himself in the 12th hour. Revelation 22:11. And my reward is with me, to give unto every man according unto his work shall be. Revelation 22:12. Here is the anchor evidence that probation closes before the Yahshua's visible return. This is not. Let's reverse that. Revelation 22:2. Here is the anchor evidence that the probation does not close until after the Yahshua's visible return here in the 12th parabolic tower, because he's the one that it's his events and his works that he does that he has to do before probation and closing. And Yahshua is the one that has to lead out and do that himself here in this last hour. Here is anchor. Okay, number 4. At the close of the 7th plague, the Yahshua himself, visible to every eye, Revelation 1:7, shall descend from the heaven. It says at the close of the 7th plague. Well, the thing is, you had 10 plagues down in Egypt as a type. You have 10 plagues in these last days. Not 7 last plagues. You have 10 last plagues as the antitype of the type. So at the close of the 10th plague, showing that that also shows the closing of the probation, the Yahshua himself visibly unto every eye returns. Revelation 1:7. No, he's always visibly returned to set up his purified kingdom of Isaiah 9:6-8, here in the 12th parabolic hour. Shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of the Yahweh, and the dead in the Yahshua shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yeshua. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. This brings us into our state. This hour contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on this to hear this sermon, and we're going to close now with a song.